Good morning. Well, let's try it again, okay? Because Easter is a day that all of us rejoice for God's faithfulness. Good morning. Yes. A very good morning to each and every one of you who are here today. It's not only a special day, but each and every moment is a special day for each and every one of us because Jesus has risen. Not only on Easter Day, but I think each and every day, the Lord's presence is always with us. A very good morning to those who are also joining us online. It's our prayer that God will continue to be with us. You know, before I look at Scripture today, together with my wife, Florence, and also with my two daughters, Jasmine and Rahel, we want to wish each and every one of you a blessed Easter. It's our prayer that God will continue to be your strength, God will continue to be your guide, and God will be the shepherd of your life. Before I pray, you know, I thought it would be good for us to greet one another, but we are going to do it differently, okay? So the left group is going to say, you know, Christ is risen to this group. And so you should respond by saying, He is risen indeed, okay? We want to see who is making the loudest noise today so that the neighbors will get up and say what's happening, right, at 1490 Birchmount, right? Okay. Look at this group, and this group look at one another. When I say one, okay, two, three, this group will say, Christ is risen. The louder, the better. And then you will respond by saying, He is risen indeed. Okay? Shall we try? Okay. One, two, three. Come on. Come on. Yeah. I think it has not gone across the street also. Right? Okay. One more time. Okay, maybe we'll start with this group. One, two, three. Okay. I'm still not satisfied. Maybe I didn't take my breakfast. Okay, I'm going to show my hand. If I say this, okay, you must say Christ is risen. Okay? And the next group will say, is risen indeed. And if suddenly I show my hand here, okay, you will say Christ is risen. Are you ready? Good. Thank you very much. It looks like the neighbors are now getting up and trying to see what's happening today. You know, let's pray and ask God to bless us as we spend some time looking at God's Word. Father, we thank You for this wonderful day that You've given to us, O God. Yes, we had the greatest news that Christ is risen, and He is risen indeed. We pray, God, as we spend some time looking at Your Word, Lord, be one, Lord, You to be present in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our community, in our nation, for those, and also for those who are longing for You. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. You know, I was reading a story about a young girl. Her name was Mackenzie. She was a young girl. She went to Sunday school. And on that particular day, the teacher was trying to teach about that God was present everywhere. And she wanted to make a point about resurrection. So when the teacher was teaching and the teacher was saying, you know, God is everywhere to the class. But Mackenzie was not so, you know, she was not so happy with that statement. Because she said, you know, teacher, there's one place that God is not there. The teacher was puzzled, you know. What? No, she said, no, God is everywhere. I can see, you know, He's everywhere. But she said, there's one particular place that Jesus is not. And the teacher asked her, where is it? And she said, He's not in the grave. What a profound statement. A young lad said, He's everywhere, but Jesus is not in the grave. He rose from the dead. Maybe it's a simple faith, my friend, but it's a profound statement. And you know why? Because that's what the Lord Jesus did. He's alive. And today, we celebrate because it teaches us something about God. When Jesus rose from the dead, it teaches us that, you know, nothing is impossible in the sight of God. Everything is possible. Jesus won death. He won sin. And because He's alive, you and I are alive today. I think all of us are very familiar with the passages. Right? Every Easter when we come, we look at John chapter 20 or the other passages. We are very familiar with the story. We know who went to the empty tomb and who ran with the great news and how the disciples felt. But I thought today, I want to invite you once again, right, to a tomb and to see. And I want to see the way, you know, I want you to see Jesus the way one of the disciples saw. The passage that is just before us, John chapter 20, you know, I have themed it as look at the empty tomb, the message of Easter. Let's turn to John chapter 20. First, we see Mary, right? She sees or she saw the stone. Let me read in verse 20, in chapter 20, verse 1. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple the Lord Jesus loved, that's John, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put Him. The first thing I see about Mary Magdalene, let me tell you, she's a wonderful person. She's a person who loved the Lord, gave herself totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you look at the passage very carefully, very early in the first day of the week, it was just before sunrise. Can you imagine there was a time, you know, you don't want to go out. The disciples were all locked in the room because of fear that the Romans will come after them. But this Mary Magdalene, together with other Mary, the mother of James, Salome, Joanna, and the Bible also says there was another Mary too. A group of ladies, unfortunately, probably the men were all sleeping, right? They went to the tomb. And what she saw, it says she saw the stone. She did not go in, but she saw the stone and she ran back to Simon Peter and the other disciple who's John and said, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put Him. You know, when I look at this particular passage, I realize, you know, she was so devoted. She wanted to be at the tomb very first day in the morning. I want to be there even before the sunrise. Because I miss this great teacher, this Lord who delivered me from the evil possession that I was in. He saved my life. He gave meaning to my life. So I wanted to see Him. But unfortunately, you know, when she went to the tomb, she was not able to see the resurrection. She just saw the stone. She saw the stone. I was asking myself, why? Why Mary saw the stone? Because probably, you know, she was soaked with sadness. Remember a couple of days ago, she was at the foot of the cross. She witnessed the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a cruel, a horrible death. You know, my teacher, my master is giving my life. And I don't want to see, but she was there witnessing. And today she's soaked with sadness. Can you imagine the emotional state she was in? Just a couple of days ago, this Lord I worship gave His life for me. Or maybe she did not understand when Jesus was teaching. She really didn't understand, you know, when He was talking about that He will rise from the dead. He is going to heaven in John chapter 14 and prepare a place for us. Probably, maybe she didn't understand. Or maybe she was not looking for a miracle. Because she was looking for a dead body. She wanted to bring the spies. She was not looking for Jesus to be alive. You know, when I was looking at this particular passage, you know, sometimes, you know, what happens to us too? We know about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard His teaching. He has done great and wonderful things to us. But there are moments in our life we become like Mary. You know why? One of the things is that we are soaked with fear, or maybe we are soaked with sadness, that something has hit us hard. Maybe a calamity, or the doctor says, this is not good in your life. She was not seeing beyond the stone, my friend. She saw just the stone alone. And I, one thing I like about Scripture today, you know, when I look at Scripture, I just love. The Lord knows the heart of this lady. The Lord knows she was so devoted that she gave, she served, and she was there for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord knew very well that she was at the foot of the cross. In a couple of verses follow, you will read that Jesus spoke to her, right? And spoke to her and revealed who He was. I think that's what the Lord is telling us today. Today, my friends, I do not know where you are in your life. Probably you are struggling, right? You love the Lord Jesus Christ. He has done so wonderful things to your life. Maybe there's something that your soul is still confused. Lord, I don't understand. Or maybe there is some kind of fear that has gripped you. Lord, can I make it in my life? I'm just struggling with this. Or maybe I'm struggling in my life. You know, the Lord sees our heart, my friend. I think that is the comforting news about Easter. He sees our heart, and the Lord spoke to Mary. It says that Jesus said or spoke to her. I think today that's what God wants us to, right? Continue to be devoted. There are times, you know, we might be soaked, but don't give up your faith. I think that's the message of Easter. The Lord wants to reveal Himself, and He says, don't give up. Just be devoted. Be faithful. Right? Give yourself to God. And so today, what areas of our life that we need to ask, you know, that we need to trust God totally, my friend? And Mary is a great example. She came, even though she was not expecting for a resurrection to take place. But the Lord knew her heart, and He knew it pretty well. Secondly, when I look at the great person who is Peter, realize Peter saw the specifics. Right? She saw the stone, and Peter saw the specifics. Let's read, if you have your Bibles. It says in verse 3, so Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. You know, they when they heard from Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, probably they were a bit confused. What's happening? In those days, you know, it's a bit difficult. They don't really trust the witness of these women. That was the culture of those days. And so they were telling themselves, is this true? So they started for the tomb. And it says both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter. Probably John was much more younger than Peter, so he was able to overtake him. And reached the tomb first. So John reaches, he bends down, and he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. So John, can you imagine? John goes, he's the first one, he looks, but he's dare not go in. Right? He's just standing outside. What happens? Peter, as usual, right? He comes behind him. He went straight, in verse 6, into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that has been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place and separate from the linen. Now Peter comes, right? He immediately comes, and he goes into the room, and he starts looking. He starts looking around. He starts looking at every corner, right? In verse 24, in Luke chapter 24, verse 12, you read, that he departed wondering at which was to pass. In other words, he was just wondering when he was looking around. You know, I was looking at these verses or even the words very carefully. I was trying to see the way John looked at things and the way Peter looked at things. If you look at the Greek word very carefully in verse 6 and 7, the word see, or in some versions it's saw. It's a different word altogether in verse 5 and 8. In other words, the way Peter saw things were different. As I said, he saw the specifics. In other words, he saw the facts. In that's the word, you know, in the Greek word where we get the word theory. It was more of the theory. He was looking and around. He was just seeing, and he was asking himself, where is Jesus? I see the linen here. I see all these things. Why are the clothes like that? Why one of them is folded? You know, can you imagine? He was just like a land surveyor. He's asking himself, why is this? Why is that? You know, how come there's so much of a mess around here? You know, if Jesus' body would have been taken, so he was just seeing things differently. He was telling himself, how can I figure it out? I can't figure it out. And that was the way Peter was looking inside the tomb, my friend. And it was, as I said, he just left the place wondering what he saw. Now, when I was asking myself, what lesson do I learn from Peter? It's not wrong to investigate. It's not wrong to investigate from Scripture to find out the things that God has said. Is it true? It's not wrong to dive into Scripture to see whether God is alive, Jesus is alive. It's not wrong. But the way Peter was looking was a bit different. He was telling the way some of us will say, Lord, prove it to me. Realize there were moments in your life, in your Christian walk, when your doctor says, or someone comes and you have a problem, you say, Lord, if you're really God in my life, change that environment for me. Change that situation for me. Heal me, Lord. Give me that. If you are my God. That was the way Peter was thinking, my friend. Sometimes we are like that too. We challenge God by saying, Lord, if you're real, if you really love me, this is what I expect you to do in my life. And that was what Peter was trying to say. I was reading a story about a young boy. Little boy, he wanted to go for a swim. He was on the beach side. And he was walking around because he was having a quarter in his pocket. And so he wanted to have a swim. And he loved his quarter. And he saw an elderly lady who was just sitting by the beach. So he went to her and he said, are you a Christian? She said, yes, I'm a Christian. And this young boy asked, do you read the Bible every day? She said, yes, I read the Bible every day without fail. And he asked again, do you pray often? She said, yes, I pray often. Then he said, can you take care of my quarter? I'll go for a swim and come back. Sometimes we are like that. Lord, are you able to do this? Lord, can you? And then what we do, we give it to him. And there was Peter. He was looking at things. He was the first one at the tomb. He saw everything. John did not see everything. But he saw everything. He was looking at the specifics, my friend. And he was saying to, like many of us, Lord, prove it if you're real. Prove it, O God. Answer me if you're real. Do this in my life if you're real. Heal me, God, if you're real. Take away that pain away from me, God, if you're real. My friends, God can do the impossible. God can do the impossible. But there are times that God allows certain things in our life. And Peter was just trying to have some kind of theory. But thank God, I think God invites us. Right? In the Scripture, God always tells us, challenge me. Test me. And you will know who I am in your life. Lastly, let me conclude by looking at the third person. Sometimes we can also belong to this particular group. John, in verse 5, he comes. Let's read, John. John goes, right, he bends down in verse 5, and he looked, he saw, it's a different word altogether, at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. He was known as the beloved disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Fine, then what happened in verse 8? Finally, the other disciples who have reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. Right? John, who reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and he believed. Peter was much more longer inside the tomb. He was the first one to go in and to see. But John went in later, my friend. He just saw a bed. And immediately he believed. I asked myself, and I was looking at the word very carefully. You know, the word in verse 8, saw, is a different word, Greek word, compared to the way Peter saw. In other words, when John saw, he was putting things together. He knew that this is definitely what God, what my Savior would do. Nothing is important. He placed things together. He was not seeing for the sake of seeing. He was looking and maybe he was reflecting on the teachings of Jesus. He looked at it and he was, you know, his mind was going back. You know, the miracles that he did, the healing that he brought, the deliverance that was taking place. He was thinking of Jesus walking on the water. And that was the way he was seeing. He was not just looking and looking at specifics and looking at facts, but he was seeing and reflecting what my Lord has done in the past. And this God who has done in the past is able to do today. And is able to do tomorrow. That was the way John saw, my friend. And he says he believed. He believed. I think that's what God encourages us today. He wants us to look at the way, right, like John. Sometimes, you know, we tend to see, but God says, when you see, remember the things that I've done to you in the past. The times when you were alone, I was there. The times when you needed me, I was there. You know, when you were asking for my help, I was there. And you remember the time I healed you? I was there to help you, to guide you and to be your strength. When you were lying in the hospital, you know, I was there. I think that was what John was seeing. And he was able to put things together. And he knew this should definitely be my master. No one else. And he is risen. And he believed, my friend. What a wonderful way this John placed this together. Even though he did not understand well. In other words, he did not fully understand everything that Jesus would rise from the dead. If we look at the passage very carefully. But he knew that, you know, I know a bit, but I know he's much more greater. He's much more powerful. He's an awesome God and a wonderful God. You know, when I look at all these things, I realize, you know, Mary Magdalene was a great person later on, my friend. He went to the tomb. Peter dwelt on it. But then he affirmed his faith again and he became the leader of the church. And John was also a great ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. That he was the one who wrote the book of Revelation where he revealed the things that God wanted us to know. And today, my friend, in our Christian walk, we have heard, we know that Jesus rose from the dead. We have heard that story before. We have studied it, but how do you see? Do you still see Jesus that is? Yes, I see him, but I do not know whether he's able to do that in my life. Can you see beyond the stone? Beyond the specifics, my friend, and believe in him. Let me conclude. probably you would have heard this story about Martin Luther, the great reformer. Well, Martin Luther was a wonderful person, a very firm, strong Christian. And he believed that, you know, we are justified by our faith. So when Martin Luther started the movement, the Reformation movement, you know, the Pope in those days was just totally against him. And many people were just against him. They were trying to take his life away. And so there was a moment in his life that Martin Luther was really going through a time of depression. Because can you imagine, the entire religious circle is against you. And he was really depressed. So a couple of days he was depressed. The next day, he saw his wife. She was wearing a black, you know, gown or a dress. She was as if someone had died. And so Martin Luther asked her, he asked, you know, wife, why are you dressed like that? Did someone die? Why are you mourning? And she said, yes, I'm mourning for God. And she told Martin Luther, Luther, you look so sad this week. I thought your God is dead. Your God is dead, she said. And immediately, Martin Luther's eyes was open. His faith got some kind of a nudge, my friend. And he said, you know, forgive me, God. And he told his wife, forgive me. At that moment, the Lord started speaking to him. And he wrote a wonderful, powerful hymn. German hymn called, A Strong Rock is Our God. A strong rock is our God. Yes, my friend, because of Easter, we have hope. Because of Easter, we can smile at the storm. Because of Easter, we can live a life of confidence and faith. Because He knows not only the todays, but He knows the tomorrows. That's the God that we worship. Let me conclude with this statement. It's one thing to find an empty tomb, and it's something else to find a risen Savior. Do you see an empty tomb, or do you see a risen Savior? Let's pray. I believe there were moments in our life that we were like Mary, just soaked with fear, with sadness. We can't see beyond our tears. We love God so much. We are devoted to Him. But our fears have overtaken us. Our worries have overtaken us. The good news is the Lord knows us, my friend. He knows that deep inside your heart, you love Him so much. And He wants to speak to us. Like Mary, I think we need to quieten ourselves and say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me, O God, because I need to hear your voice. Maybe some of us here might be like Peter, still struggling. Can Jesus do this in my life? Or maybe we might say, Lord, prove it to me, O God, that you're alive. If you're the God of the universe, show it to me. The Lord need not show it to us. But the Lord wants us to see the things that He has done in our life, my friend. Can you remember the day that He healed you? Can you remember the day He helped you in your finances? Can you remember the day He answered your prayers? The Lord need not prove it to us. It's all there.
Maybe some of us are like John. We look at things. We don't only look at things, but we also remember the things that Christ has done for us. Though we don't understand fully, but I know my Savior lives. In all these people, you realize that Jesus did not leave them. He loves them so much. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Easter. We thank you, Lord, because of Easter, Lord, we can see things beyond the stone. We can see a risen Lord, so powerful. So, Lord, when we leave this place, oh God, we want to leave this place with confidence, with hope, knowing that you are in control of everything, oh God, that happens in our life. When we love you, Lord, we need not fear. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. Now, before we give to God, I thought it would be good for us to hear what God has been doing in our neighboring country. Many of you know that, you know, as a church, we love missions. We continue to support missions because that's the heartbeat of God, right? To be involved in missions. And we have been helping quite a lot of mission organizations. At the same time, you know, we have missionaries that we support. And today we are happy to have Michael Mutenga with us together with his family. I've asked him to come and share very briefly what God is doing. So when you hear them, just take a moment to just thank God for the wonderful things that God is doing. Like Mary Magdalene, who was told to share the good news, right? Today, you and I are called to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is risen, and He is risen indeed.